the great Emmanuel. There is no other name, no other name. There is no other name. Hallelujah. There is no other name worthy to be praised.
Oh Lord, your name is worthy.
Oh Lord, you are worthy, worthy to be praised.
You are worthy. Let's worship the Lord right now.
Oh Lord, you are worthy, worthy to be praised.
You are worthy, Lord.
Father, we thank you for your goodness. Your name is above every name, Lord Jesus. Lord, it says that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee will bow, every tongue shall confess to the glory of God the Father that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so, Lord, we just declare you as the one true living God. Father, you are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You are the one that created the heavens and the earth. You're the one that raised Jesus from the dead so that we could be born again. Father, we thank you, Lord. We are so grateful, and we're grateful for your word, and we're going to receive it with joy here tonight. And Father, we're going to be doers of it. And Lord, you said that we would be blessed in every single deed, Lord, when we obey you. And Lord, we just rely upon and we submit and we yield to the Holy Ghost here tonight. Father, we trust that the Holy Spirit will lead and unveil and reveal your word. And Lord, we're going to receive revelation here tonight. And Lord, we're going to get some serious help and be like you and think like you and act like you. And Lord, we just give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Are you glad to be in church here tonight? Are you ready for the Word of God? Yeah, well, this is it, right? Meaning the Word is what feeds us. You know, Jesus said over there in Matthew 4:4, he said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." You know, it's not ultimately our income or our job. You know, it's not ultimately the house we live in or the vehicle we drive or whatever that takes care of us. Ultimately, the Bible says that man cannot live on natural things alone, but by the Word of God. His Word will feed you. You know, it'll feed you spiritually. The Bible says that His Word renews your mind. It says that His Word, you know, brings life and strength and health to your body. Amen. You know, sometimes it's so easy just to think those natural things are what's really feeding our life. But we got to remember, it's the Word of God that will truly feed, amen, and take care of us. Well, go with me in your Bibles. Go to Genesis chapter 1. And I think we can find that in our Bibles. If we're not sure where Genesis chapter 1 is, it's the very first page, right? And tonight I'm going to call this message Dominion, Strength, and Authority. Dominion, Strength, and Authority. You know, last week the Holy Spirit took the service in a completely different direction than where I thought we were going. And the Holy Spirit last Saturday night, you know, I started to preach my sermon and I was just, you know, moving forward with that. And up here, the Holy Spirit was telling me, he actually wasn't giving me the chapter and verse, but he was quoting that verse out of Acts chapter 3. And I was up here just wrestling in my mind about, you know, should we obey that, or, you know, I should just, you know, stay on my sermon. And all of a sudden, I just had to give it up, you know, and had to just say time out. And we went and got that verse, and we went to Acts chapter 3 and verse 16. And remember, John and Peter were on their way to the temple. And remember, there was a man that was crippled, and he was over 40 years old, and he had been crippled from birth. And remember, Peter said, "Gold and silver have I none." He says, "But what I do have, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." And remember, they pulled the man up, and it says immediately he received strength in his ankles. His legs were healed. And remember how he started to leap and to walk and to praise God for joy. And they walked into the temple, and it gathered a huge crowd. And remember what Peter said in Acts 3:16. He said, "It is by his name," talking about the name of Jesus, "it is by his name and by faith in his name that this man has been made strong. And it is by the faith of Christ that this man has been given perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Amen. And the last week, you know, the Holy Ghost had us to focus on that phrase, perfect soundness. And this is what the Spirit was saying to us, you know, last week, that perfect soundness is what God has for all of his people. It doesn't mean your life won't get challenged. It doesn't mean everything will be easy. But it does mean that perfect soundness is produced by his name. Perfect soundness belongs to his name. It is the result of his name. And perfect soundness belongs to every man and woman that belongs to Christ. Amen. Perfect soundness has been given to you through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so we looked at that, and we, you know, we started to say some things, and this is what I want to say, you know, this week about that. You know, perfect soundness isn't just what God gives us. It's not just what he provides for us. Perfect soundness is who he is. Perfect soundness is what he is. And when you fellowship with God's word, you're fellowshipping with perfect soundness. When you're taking time to pray and to know God, you're in fellowship with him, you know, perfect soundness. You're in the presence of perfect soundness. Amen. When you're in church and you're praising God and worshiping him with all your heart, you know, you're in the presence of perfect soundness. When we're gathered two or three in his name and he's in the midst, that means perfect soundness is here. Amen. And we took a look at what that perfect soundness means. It means wholeness. It means completeness. All right. I like this definition of perfect soundness. It means nothing broken and all is at rest. Nothing broken and all is at rest. How many of you know that's what God wants for you in your life? He doesn't want you burdened with worry. You know, he doesn't want you stressing over everything. He doesn't want you troubled in these last days. Remember the five things that the Lord warned us about in Matthew chapter 24? He said in the last days, he said, number one, don't be deceived. Two, don't be troubled. That means trouble-hearted. He didn't say that troubles wouldn't come to you. He's like, he was just making sure that we know, don't let those troubles get into your heart where you worry and obsess about those things nonstop. I'll tell you what, people are serving their problems these days more than they're serving the Lord. You know, how many of you know we give so much time to our troubles? I'll tell you what, why don't we just decide to cast those things upon the Lord once and for all and just go ahead by faith and say, in Jesus' name, those troubles are handled. I'm not going to allow them to distract me from serving God. Amen. Number one, he said, don't be deceived. Two, don't be troubled. Three, don't be offended. Four, don't betray one another. And five, don't let the love of God or the things of God grow cold. Those were five warnings from Jesus, you know, about the very last days that we live in. You know, it is my role as the pastor, you know, to bring, you know, the Word of God so it will renew our mind and so it will challenge our thinking. You know, we've got to hear something from the Word of God that'll interrupt all the troubled thinking that is in this world. We're surrounded by troubled thinking all the time, you know, and we're all going to be tempted to pick up that troubled thinking. Well, the way that we make sure that we don't is that we get renewed in our minds with the Word of God. Remember what it says over there in Romans 12, 2? It says, do not conform to the image of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you want to see God move in a dramatic way in your life, we're going to absolutely have to change the way we think. Amen. And tonight we're going to get something that helps to change the way we think. And remember last week, the Lord helped us to learn how we keep that perfect soundness. Remember where it starts? The battlefield is where? It's in the mind. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Where do imaginations take place? In your mind. Where do your thoughts take place? In your mind. Where do strongholds occur? In our mind. And you don't want to be walking in strongholds. I just quoted 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. And that was the verses that we were in last week. So tonight, we're going to give you some word here concerning dominion, strength, and authority. Are you ready? Yes. Let's get a little thinking that's going to upset the apple cart compared to what the world is thinking about, right? Amen. Go down to Genesis 1 and go down to verse 26. I'm going to read three verses here. This is about the creation of mankind. Why did God create human beings? And I'm just going to warn you, what we're going to take a look at here tonight, it might upend a little bit of your theology, all right? But that's okay. As long as it's Bible, why did God make you? Why did God create you and I? Why did God create humanity? We're going to take a look at it upon the creation account right here. Genesis 1:26, it says this, and God said, let us. You know, notice that's plural. Why does the Bible say, let us make man in our own image? Because the us that he's referring to there is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. He says, let us make or create man in our image and after our likeness. And it says, and let them, humanity, man and woman, have dominion. Everyone say dominion. Over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, both male and female, God created them. In verse 28, it says, and God blessed them. Everyone say blessed. Wow, God made you to be blessed. Well, we're going to look at what it means to be blessed. And it says, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. And I'm just going to give you a little heads up. That's more than just having children. All right. And we will talk about that. He says, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it. Everyone say, subdue it. Well, that's interesting. If you take a look at that, and we will. And he says this, he says, subdue the earth and have, again, what? Dominion. Over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. So now we see in just these three verses that word dominion is twice given as God's reason for creating humanity. Folks, I'm going to say something that's going to shock you. I'm going to say something that may upset you, and if you start to feel yourself getting upset, just bear with me. Let me explain myself. You know, usually when the typical Christian is asked, why did God make you? Why did God make humanity? The typical response is this: God made us to love us. Well, that's not a wrong thing to say, all right? I'm just here to tell you that that is not the first reason the Bible gives about why God created humanity. God created humanity to have dominion, all right? And we're gonna talk about that. And it does not, I'm not saying that God doesn't love us. He loves us with an unimaginable love. Of course he made us and he loved us. God is love. Everything he does is out of his love. But there was a purpose for the creation of man and woman. All right, and it wasn't just to fill the earth with people or to just have children, which that's a real blessing. I have kids and praise the Lord, all right? But there is more going on here than we realize. Go back up to verse 26, and let's read this verse again. It says in verse 26, God said, "Let us make mankind in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." You know, I've got to say it. We have dominion over the creeps, right? And so we use that joke every time we read this verse. We're going to go back to it because it always works, right? Praise the Lord. Notice he gave us dominion. You know, when we first look at this verse, we take a casual glance at it. We think, well, that dominion, it just seems like it's just in reference to, you know, the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle of the field. You know, it just seems like it's a simple, you know, declaration that humanity, you know, will rule the animal kingdom and will rule in the fields and, you know, we'll grow crops and things like this. But notice that verse says you'll have dominion over the fish, over the fowl of the air, the cattle, and over what? How much of the earth shall we have dominion over? All the earth, and over what creeping thing? Every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. Now, when you hear that, you say, this is just talking about plants and animals and those basic things. But folks, we got to remember, this is not talking just about natural things. It's talking about spiritual things, spiritual authority. Folks, answer me the question. Go ahead and shout it out loud. What form did Satan take when he came into the Garden of Eden? He came in as a serpent or a snake, right? Now, notice this. This starts to teach us that, you know, evil can take on natural forms. Or let me say it this way. God was teaching, you know, Adam here and Eve, and when they show up on the scene, he's letting them know that natural forms can have a spirit behind them. Folks, we have to remember that a lot of the natural realm is just a reflection of what's going on in the realm that you and I cannot see. There is a spiritual realm. All right, let's take some, you know, simple illustrations, for example. Think about substance abuse. Think about addictions, or when people get, you know, hooked on drugs or alcohol or whatever it is. How many of you know that has a natural form? You know, alcohol is made from, you know, plants and fermentation, and there are certain drugs that have, you know, chemicals in them that were derived from heat and pressure and all this stuff. How many of you know those drugs or that alcohol has a natural form, but there can absolutely be a spirit behind that tempting people to give their life to those things so they get hooked and addicted and destroyed through abusing those things? How many of you know there's a natural form, but there can be an unseen force guiding those things, you know, in the spiritual realm? Think about like pornography addictions. Think about sexual vice and sexual sins, right? How many of you know that takes on a natural form? you know, it has a physical form. You know, it's improprieties, you know, with the other opposite gender, you know, or, you know, there's homosexual sin and things like that. How many of you know that is a natural form, you know, that if we're not careful, if it's misused, it can absolutely be a temptation from Satan himself to get into relationships that are ungodly or sinful. Folks, how many of you know what I'm talking about here? And so many times Christians look at Genesis 1:26, they just casually read it that dominion just means that we're just going to be, you know, the toughest or the most influential creature on the earth. Folks, God was letting us know that when he made humanity, he made us for the purpose of having dominion over anything on the earth, including the spiritual influences on this earth. We have to know and understand, we as Christians, we have spiritual authority over temptations. We have spiritual authority over fear. We have spiritual authority over addictions. Are you here tonight? All right. So dominion is something that is very important. And I'm here to tell you, so many Christians have no idea what dominion is. If we don't know why God made us, if we're not serving the purpose for which he made us, I'm here to tell you, so many of God's people are getting dominated by life when we should be dominating life. Because, you know, dominion, and let me give you some definitions of what dominion is, right? God was basically saying to Adam, I give you dominion over every natural element and the spirit behind it. Isn't that true? You know, and basically, who made serpents? Think about this. Who made serpents, snakes in general? Who made them? God did. All right? So notice that God was telling Adam and Eve, I give you authority over anything that creeps, even anything that I made that has been corrupted to be used against you. There is so much in our world that has been corrupted to be used against us. This is what Satan is doing all over the place. But if we know what dominion is, we can rule and reign over it. Amen. There's a lot of things. You know, God has made, you know, man and woman. God made a sexual relationship between a husband and a wife. But how many of you know Satan wants to corrupt that through adultery or pornographic means or whatever it is? You know, how many of you know God made plants on this earth? But the scripture says that the animal and plant kingdom fell into corruption. And now Satan wants to manipulate that and use it against humanity. You know, I love it when people tell me, you know, they try to say, well, you know, smoking marijuana is not a sin. I say, yes, it is. They say, no, God made it. It's natural. I said, crude oil is natural too. But if I hand you a glass of crude oil, I notice you won't drink it, right? Because it'll kill you, right? I mean, there's a lot of things that have been corrupted in the earth. Yeah, the system was created by God, but when sin entered into this earth, it corrupted a lot of things that the devil will try to use to hurt you. All right, so here's what dominion is. Are you ready? Here in Genesis 1:26 and in verse 28, the word dominion in the Hebrew, the original language of the Old Testament, it means this, to rule or to be a ruler. To rule or be a ruler. It means to reign. Not R-A-I-N. R-E-I-G-N. Right? Amen. It means to rule or to reign. Glory to God. It means to tread down. I like this. It means to subjugate. Or literally, make everything subject to you, or literally, to take control. Oh, why did God make humanity to take control? You remember, Satan was already on this earth. There was a reason why God made humanity. He made us. I'm just going to let the cat out of the bag right now. God made humanity to be the ones to push back against Satan himself. That's absolutely right. We are made to resist the enemy. We are made for spiritual authority and dominion. Amen. It means this, the word dominion, it means to dominate. Here's my favorite definition of this word. Dominion means to prevail against. Amen. God made you to be a winner. He made you to prevail in this life, to take control in this life, not be controlled by everything. You know, why, if God made us to have this control, why are so many human beings under the control of so many things they're not supposed to be under control? If we're not careful, we'll be under the control of fear. We're not supposed to be. Or we can be under the control of drugs and alcohol. We're not supposed to be. Or we can be under control of stress or under control of money. How many of you know we're not supposed to be? Amen. Oh, we're going to talk about this. Glory to God. It means to rule, to reign, to prevail against. The word dominion, it implies strength, not weakness, confidence, not fear. Glory to God. Fearlessness. Amen. See, I'll tell you what, if we don't think this way, we will never live this way. You know, I'll tell you, so many of God's people, they just take and accept everything that happens in this world around them. Folks, you and I were made for dominion. See, remember up there in verse 26, notice it says, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Image is what God looks like. So if you've ever wondered what God looks like, you know what he looks like, right? He looks like me. He looks like you, right? That's a joke. I'm just trying to keep you away. Are you here tonight? The fact that mankind was made in the image of God, that means we have the same shape as he does. All of us share a similar shape. If you were to see your heavenly Father sitting on the throne of God, he would have arms and legs and a form that would look very familiar to us. See, if you wonder where, you know, the idea of the human body came from, God took it from himself, right? Meaning he took that idea from himself. But notice that we're not made just in the image of God. We're also made after his what? His likeness. See, we're not just supposed to look like God. We're supposed to act like God. The likeness means we share characteristics of him. You know, we can think like God thinks. We can love like God loves, right? We can live like God lives. Praise the Lord. And so we're made after his likeness and in his image. Having dominion, this is the highest likeness of God. Here's the reason why God made us to have dominion, because he has dominion. He has dominion greater than we will ever have. You know, we're not saying that mankind will ever equal God or be above God. Please don't understand. But he made us like him because he has dominion. All right? God has dominion, meaning he doesn't lose control. Amen? God is a ruler. God always prevails. Amen? He always takes control. God is unmovable. God is nothing but strength, and nothing gains control over God that shouldn't. All right? That's why we're made in his likeness. So things that try to rule over us can't or shouldn't be allowed to. All right? The ultimate likeness of God is to have this dominion. I'll tell you what, do not listen to the science books. And take this from a former science teacher. All right, I was a former school teacher. I was hired by New York State to proctor the New York State science exam, all right? You know, when they try to tell you that we're made in the image of other primates and, you know, and apes and monkeys and all that stuff, if you want to be made in the image of an animal, go right ahead. But I'm here to tell you, we are made after the image and the likeness of Almighty God. And he made us to be dominion. I used to love this. You know, and I'll just digress here for a minute or 10. And, you know, they'd always say, do you know that a chimpanzee is 98% genetically the same as a human being? And I said, well, whatever that 2% left over is, it's a big 2%. And it always cracked me up. And believe me, I'm an animal guy. I love animals so much. So I literally just had a squirrel living in my office the last few days. I got home. Oh, okay. My niece, I'm in a double digression here. I got home few days ago. I show up and there's a squirrel in my driveway, which I live out in the country, which isn't a big deal. We have tons of squirrels. And this little guy is sitting there and he's just sitting there eating an acorn. And I get out and I come around my truck and he's only like 4 feet away. And I think to myself, this guy sure is tame, man. He is not scared of me. And I got down. I've got video proof, all right? I get down, and I'm like, hey, buddy. And I reach out to him. He's just sitting there eating the acorn. Sure enough, long story short, this squirrel lets me start petting him. The squirrel then comes up my body, goes onto my arm. My wife gets me a handful of peanuts, and I just sit there and feed this squirrel. And my niece called me Snow White, which is not a compliment these days, I guess, you know. So anyway, I am an animal guy. I love animals. I mean, last year at this time, I had a sparrow fly into my garage, and he landed there, and he wasn't hurt or anything. I'm like, oh, hey, buddy, what's going on? He brought a worm and a bug into my garage. I walked up to this bird and put my hand out, and this bird jumped on my hand and sat with me for 15 minutes, and I have video proof of that, too, if you don't believe me. So I'm channeling my inner Snow White, I guess, or whatever. So I'm an animal person. But when they would say, you know, this chimpanzee is 98% genetically equal, and we would watch videos of, you know, these apes and things, and they'd stick a stick into a ant hill, and they'd pull the stick out, and the stick would be covered with ants. And remember, and then the ape will lick the ants right off there and eat them. And they say, wow, look at, he's a tool maker. See, he's like a human. And I'll say, we're building space shuttles. We're landing on moons of Saturn. So whatever that 2% difference is, I'll tell you what the 2% difference is right there. There's a spark of God in humanity, and I love animals. I am kind to animals. I have a cat at home. I have three cats at home, one of which is like my absolute best friend in my life. Don't tell anyone else I said that. You know, I love animals. But if you think that we're made in the image of a primate, I'm here to tell you, we're made in the image and the likeness of God. Amen. Praise the Lord, we have dominion. That's how it is, the highest likeness of God. The creation of mankind is very misunderstood. Our existence was for this purpose, first and foremost, to prevail against evil. The number one reason you and I were made was to prevail against the one who rebelled against God. That is why we were made. And I'm not going to go, you know, too deep into the theology of creationism and all this stuff. But I'm just here to tell you, the Bible tells us we were made to rule and reign over evil. Amen. Folks, everyone get a hold of this. Mankind was created with a mandate. God was telling humanity right here. He was saying, take control, rule and reign, prevail over evil, subdue the spiritual realm, subdue the troubles that come against you, let nothing control you that is not of God. And secondly, he's telling us to act like him, right? Think like him, look like him, and be like him. God gave us dominion so that people would see God on you. He made you to rule and reign, and we're going to talk about how to do this, you know, and what it means. But God wants others to see him on you. That's what we're made for. Our mandate is to take control over evil, not give into it. All right. Praise the Lord. Amen. Folks, I'm gonna tell you, you know, this mandate that God gave humanity, it's the same mandate that God the Father gave Jesus. He did. Folks, can we bring up just real quickly, can you bring up John 14:9? God wants to be seen on your life. God wants others to see him on you. Remember what Jesus said to Philip? Remember this? Remember Philip told Jesus, he said, Lord, just show us the Father and that'll be enough for us. And remember how Jesus was taken aback by that? And Jesus said to him, he said, have I been so long time with you and you have not known me, Philip? Right? He that has seen me has seen the Father. See, where does that come from? That comes from the original intention that God had with Adam and Eve. God wanted all to see himself on his man and woman that he made. Remember that? Can you bring up another verse? I'm going to really dig into this a little bit here tonight. Can you bring up 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 45? 1 Corinthians 15, 45. You don't need to turn there. Remember this verse in the New Testament? So it is written, the first man, Adam, everyone say Adam, the very first man that was ever made, was a living soul, but the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. What? Who? We know who the first Adam was, right? We know who the first Adam was. Who can tell me who the scripture's talking about here when it calls the last Adam? Jesus. Jesus Christ is called the last Adam, or literally translated, the second Adam. Why is that? Because Jesus was given the same instruction and the same mandate that Adam was given, except Adam failed. Adam was supposed to take control over wickedness, undo the works of the devil, but Adam failed and he sinned. But the second Adam, or the last Adam, did not sin. He did not fail. He shed his blood on that cross and destroyed him who had the power of death. That is the devil. See, people don't understand. You ask the average Christian, why did Jesus come to this earth? And they'll say, well, Jesus came and died on the cross so I could go to heaven. Yes, God wants you to go to heaven. But I'm here to tell you what Jesus was doing was giving you your dominion back. He was providing what was lost through Adam and Eve when they sinned. And I'm going to show you this in the scripture. See, Adam, you know, lost his estate. He sinned against God, and sin and death reigned in him. But Jesus, the last Adam, quickened us, or made us alive again. The word quickens means to be made alive. Humanity was dead, so to speak, spiritually, all the way from Adam and Eve, all the way up to when Jesus Christ rose again. Man had no dominion. Man was controlled by Satan. Sin ruled over man. And then Jesus rose again. And now, because he's alive, we're alive in him, and we got this dominion back. Let me show you this in the scripture. Because there's so many Christians today that are troubled, they're afraid. Folks, I'm here to tell you, you don't have to be afraid anymore. You don't have to live a life that's just terrified or worried about money or worried about sickness in your body or worried about what's going on in the world. Yeah, I'm here to tell you, challenges may happen, but we don't have to be scared of them. See, the reason why we get afraid is because our minds are not renewed to our dominion that Christ restored to us. Man, I hope this is making sense. Oh, I'm going to show you. We got to just skip right ahead here. I'm going to skip, you know, a good portion of my message because time won't permit. Go to Romans 5:17. Go to Romans chapter 5. I'm glad that the second Adam came. I'm glad that Jesus showed up. He had the same mandate. God wants you and I to resist evil, to take authority over evil, to take authority over the troubles, the things that would try to plague us in our mind. He wants us to rule and reign. Let me show you this. Romans 5:17. Look at this verse. Boy, I'm telling you. Say, well, Pastor, I don't know. I don't really get this deep into the Bible. Get this deep into the Bible because it'll change your life. Look what the scripture says. For if by one man's offense, death reigned by one. What was the man who sinned first that caused death to reign on humanity? Adam. So here we are talking about Adam again. For if by one man's offense or because of Adam's sin, death came and reigned through that one man. Much more. Everyone say much more. They which receive the abundance of grace. Is there anyone here tonight that you've received the abundance of grace? That's salvation through Jesus. You've received the abundance of grace, and the gift of righteousness shall what? reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Can you bring this up in the Amplified? I love the Amplified version of this verse. For if because of one man's trespass, lapse, and offense, death reigned through that one man, Adam, much more surely will those who receive God's overflowing grace and unmerited favor and the free gift of righteousness through the cross, through the acceptance of Christ, the free gift of righteousness, putting them into right standing with God Himself, you shall what? Reign as kings in life through the one man, Jesus Christ, the Messiah and the Anointed One. Folks, how does this apply to everyday life? It applies to our thinking. It applies to our mindset. No, I'm not going to go stand at the counter at Walmart and get up there and say, hey, everybody, just want to let you know I've got my dominion back and, I'm not going to make a fool of myself and try to show that off. Do you know what I'm saying? Amen. We don't try to get up and do foolish things. Having dominion doesn't mean that you control your spouse. It doesn't mean you judge other people. It means that you have the ability to take authority over wickedness. Are you getting a hold of this? Amen. Praise the Lord. We were made to take control, not be controlled by everything in life. So why are so many people, even believers, controlled by the wrong things when we were actually made to have dominion over them? Because this is the knowledge that the devil does not want us to know. The devil does not want us to understand how God made us and what He made us for. My purpose in this life, is to serve God and to resist evil. Again, it's a personal thing. I'm not here to resist the evil in your life. I don't tell you what to do, and I can preach the word. It's going to be up to you to do it. But I have dominion over evil in my life. I don't have control of other people's lives. I don't try to control you here. A pastor shouldn't do that. A spouse shouldn't do that. It doesn't mean that we try to get our way over people. But it means that we have the authority to understand what evil is in our life. We can take authority over it in Jesus' name, and we can rule and reign over it. Folks, so many people are getting dominated today. They're afraid of everything. They're in fear about, getting sick. They're in fear about the economy. They're in fear about money. They're in fear about losing their job. They're in fear about their kids. Folks, I'm here to tell you, we are not to be ruled and dominated by fear. Amen. Can you bring up 2 Timothy 1:7? For God has not given us what? The spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Can you bring it up in the King James? It's just a little less wordy, even though the Amplified is awesome too. In the King James, we just are very familiar with it. God has not given us the spirit of fear. So this is what the point that we're making here tonight. We are to know the things that are not from God. And if they're not from God, we are to rule and reign over them. Folks, when I got born again, I was a heavy drinker. I was smoking dope, living rough, cursing, cussing, living the party life. And it was when I started to learn in the scripture, wait a minute, I don't have to be controlled by addictions. I don't have to be controlled by fear. I don't have to worry about things all the time. Amen. Because God has not given me the spirit of fear. He gave me a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind or self-control. I didn't have to do those things anymore. So all of a sudden, I started to use that authority or that dominion, and I started to say no. I literally started to say, no, I'm not drinking anymore. My last drink was January 18th of 2003. I've been free of that for all those years. Amen. Glory to God. It's authority. Now, when fear comes to me, and folks, I'm not here to boast or anything like that. I get tempted to be afraid, and every once in a while, I'll fail at that. You know, I think that's probably something that we, you know, if we're all being honest with ourselves, we fail at these things sometimes. But when a spirit of fear starts to show up in my life, or depression starts to show up, why is there so much depression in the world right now? Because humanity has, you know, lost sight of why God made us. When depression shows up in my life, I say, in Jesus' name, depression, I take authority, and I am not accepting this depression. And I know that sounds crazy, but I don't go up to Wegmans and get on the customer service counter and just scream that. But, you know, when that spirit of fear tries to come against me, or, you know, if the devil starts to put an imagination in your mind of you dying early, or of your kids being hurt, or losing your job, or whatever it is. See, remember, we looked at that scripture last week. The devil will try to put imaginations in your mind. How do you cast them down? You do so with dominion and authority. Amen. Are you getting something out of this here tonight? Just trying to make this plain, even though it's, you know, something that it takes a little thinking, you know, to hold on to this. We were made to take control, to have dominion, not to be dominated by so many things. So what is happening? Why do we see so many addictions, so many people tormented, so many Christians that are troubled and all this stuff? Let me explain some of this to you. Satan is working hard to make man a mockery before God. Satan is trying to take this wonderful creation of humanity that was meant to master the devil, and the devil wants us to become slaves to sin, to fear, to poverty, to drugs, to sexual vice, to sickness and stress, and all these things. The devil wants to take humanity and rub our face in the dirt and bring us down low, because we were the ones that were made to have dominion over him. When Satan saw that God created man and woman to rule over him, Satan made it his mission to bring humanity as low as possible, whether through depression, fear, sickness, addiction, poverty. It should absolutely trouble us to see people getting just dominated by these things when God made humanity to dominate these things. If we would take authority more often against things like fear, amen. Let me give you real quickly, as we get ready to wrap this up, let me give you a list of three things that we can use authority for to make sure that we don't fall under the control of wrong things. Amen. Praise the Lord. Why did Jesus come back? He came back to give us our dominion back. You know, his shed blood, yes, it washes our sins, and that's first and foremost. His shed blood gives us the opportunity through faith in his name that we can go to heaven. But ultimately what Jesus was doing, he was coming back to give us dominion and authority back. And when you see Christians that are dominated by fear, dominated by worry, dominated by all this stuff that's just plaguing them and putting their face in the dirt, I'm here to tell you that it is a result of them not understanding authority. And that hurts when they hear a preacher say that. And it's not because they're to blame or we're trying to hurt them or attack them. We've all been there, right? I'm here to tell you, this is probably one of the most misunderstood doctrines, is why God made humanity. All right, let me tell you a couple things here. Number one, are you ready? And I've been talking about it already, so I don't have to take much time on it. Number one thing that we have to take authority over is fear. Fear is the number one thing that gives Satan permission into your life. Just like faith allows God to move into our lives, fear is what gives Satan permission to move in our lives. What faith is to God, fear is to Satan. And that's why, you know, I say this, you know, quite regularly, the fear of the something is worse than the something. What I mean about this is that the devil will try to give you fears of getting sick or fears of losing your job. The fear of losing your job, trust me, can do way more damage to your life than losing the job. Listen, it's no fun when someone loses their income and we have compassion on that. But it's the fear that Satan takes advantage of. When COVID broke out and the pandemic began, you remember around here, I started telling everybody, whoa, everybody, this is as bad as it is, and people were genuinely getting sick. The virus was a real thing. What it ultimately was about, it was about fear getting into the world. COVID changed the world, but not because of a virus, but because of the fear that was attached to it. The fear of COVID did way more damage long-term to our society than that virus could ever possibly do. This world has seen far worse illnesses and, you know, far worse pandemics. I mean, we've seen a lot worse in terms of the intensity of the virus. And believe me, I'm not trying to downplay it. It was real. It happened. It affected people. I knew people that died with COVID. And of course, our heart just is filled with compassion for people that were troubled and all that stuff. But the fear, COVID is pretty much in all basic forms. I mean, we know it still exists, but it's not raging like it was. COVID itself has receded, but the effects of the fear are still moving forward. And we said around here, we warned, we said, listen, the fear of COVID is going to open the door for Satan to do things in our nation far beyond what the sickness will do. Folks, I don't know if you've noticed that I can say this from, you know, 20 years of ministry, a full-time ministry. The world is a different place since then. Ministry is different since then. And I've said it this way, there is more spiritual resistance in these last 3 years than the previous 17 years of my ministry combined. All pastors that I know are reporting the same thing. It's not because a virus is that scary. Of course, yes, it was bad, and we're not trying to downplay those that were troubled by it, but the fear and the long-term effects. See, we need to understand that dominion was given back to us so that we would rule over fear. Oh my goodness, I got to show you a verse. Can you bring up Hebrews 2:14? Was it planning on going here? See, people don't realize, you know, the depth of what salvation is. You know, from Adam's sin all the way up until the resurrection of Jesus Christ, man was dominated by sin, by Satan, by fear, right? But then Jesus rose again, and you called on him as your Lord and Savior. And the Bible says that he delivered you out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Folks, we're redeemed out of the kingdom of fear. We're redeemed out of the kingdom of evil. Amen. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, do we have any children of God here tonight? He also, meaning Jesus, himself likewise took part of the same. Jesus had a physical body that through death, through the cross, Jesus would destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. So Jesus destroyed the devil on the cross. Do you know that? You say, well, why is all these problems? Because people don't understand what dominion is and they don't understand what Jesus gave us back. And look at verse 15. Why? What happens? And to deliver us who through fear, everyone say fear. Fear, through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Before Jesus rose again, humanity was stuck. Or literally the word subject, it means to be enslaved by fear. Satan kept humanity suppressed through fear of death. And now, since Jesus destroyed him, we are now delivered of fear. We're delivered of fear because we have authority over him. Can we bring up Luke 10:19? Are you ready? We're going to wrap this up right now because we got to get a hold of this. So many Christians are just getting beat up. And as a pastor, I'm seeing the devil just pounding them with worry pounding. Look at Luke 10:19. Jesus speaking. He says, "Behold, I give unto you power." The word power there is authority. You can look it up. "I give unto you power to" what? "Tread on serpents and scorpions." Do you think Jesus is just referring to critters out in the desert? No, serpents and scorpions is an illustration of demonic spirits, demons, the devil. Serpent, that's a representation of Satan, and scorpions is a representation of his demons. Jesus says, "I give unto you power and authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy." You have power that is over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. What is that verse talking about? Jesus bringing dominion back. Amen. Praise the Lord. Can you bring up 1 John 3:8? Well, these are verses I wasn't planning on preaching. These are verses that we meditate on. 1 John 3:8, I believe this is the right one, and if I'm not, I'm going to be embarrassed. If it's not. "He that commits sin is of the devil." Oh my goodness, is that in your New Testament? Yes, it is. "For the devil sins from the beginning." It means someone who chooses a lifestyle of sin. It doesn't mean you're the devil because you made one mistake and you repented for it. All right, you got to understand that. "For this purpose," everyone say this purpose. "This purpose, the Son of God was manifested." Here is why Jesus showed up. All right, that he would what? Destroy the works of the devil. He would destroy the dominion that Satan held over God's people. Are you getting a hold of this? Amen. Praise the Lord. How about, well, why don't we bring up James 4:7? Are you seeing this in your New Testament? James 4:7, "Submit yourselves therefore to God." Means you have to be in obedience for your dominion to work, by the way. How many of you know if you just disobey God and sin against God, if you're not in obedience, your dominion don't work? This dominion is, of course, predicated upon obeying God. But look at this. "Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil." This is New Testament, book of James. "Resist the devil, and the devil will flee from" who? "From me and you." It's talking about you personally. But wait a minute, the devil's going to run from Jesus. The devil's going to run from God. No, the devil's supposed to run from you. God is not going to do anything more about the devil. God has already done everything that he's ever going to do about the devil. He gave Jesus on the cross and he put you here. God does not exist for the purpose of resisting the devil. You exist for the purpose of resisting the devil. Is everyone getting a hold of this? Well, praise the Lord. Oh my goodness. Why don't you bring up Mark chapter 16 and verse 17? I believe that's all right. These are just references. Why do I remember these verses? Because I meditated them. Mark chapter 16, verse 17. I believe that's the right one. We had a couple of people agree with that. Praise the Lord. Can you bring that up for us, brother? Jesus speaking, Jesus says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe." Do we have any believers here tonight? "In my name, in the name of Jesus Christ," what will they do? "They will cast out demons." How can you cast out a demon if you don't first have dominion or authority over them? Right? Uh-oh, boy, dare we read the rest of that verse. "They shall speak with new tongues." Doesn't mean you have to speak in tongues to be saved, but it does mean it's available to you. Glory to God, through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I wrote a book on that. You can go ahead and get one. I don't know if we have any more of them. "In my name we shall," he says, "in the name of Jesus Christ, we will cast out devils. These signs will follow them that believe," for believers. Glory to God, taking authority. And so, folks, here, the number one thing, again, fear. All right? Fear. Again, the fear of the something is worse than the something. Being afraid of not having enough money is far worse. Far worse than not having enough money. You know what I mean? You know, being afraid of what the doctor might say is a lot worse than what any attack could be on your body. All right? Keep the fear out. Learn to win over fear. Amen. This is how we rule and reign in this life. Here's the second thing that we use our spiritual authority over. Are you ready? Bad spiritual habits. Folks, is there anybody that has ever just felt spiritually lazy in your life? Oh, come on. Well, thank you for five honest people here tonight. Have you ever just not felt like reading your Bible? You ever just felt like, I don't want to pray, I don't want to go to church, I don't want to do anything for God? How many of you know you've got to take spiritual authority over bad spiritual habits? A lot of Christians are waiting for God to just give them some kind of motivation to do something for Him. Folks, I'm here to tell you, God is not going to stir you up. You have to stir yourself up. Amen. You have to stir up the faith. You have to stir up the gift of God that's within you. Amen. And the way I say it around here quite a bit, you're going to have to confront yourself. You know, every once in a while, you'll start to realize, you know, you'll take a look at your life and you'll say, man, you know, my spiritual habits aren't very good these days. It's time to confront that, right? Yeah. Amen. Not saying that you are, not saying that I am, but I'll tell you what, every Christian at some time is going to have to confront themselves. Amen. Bad spiritual habits. Here's the third thing that you need to take spiritual authority over. Bad natural habits. What's an alcohol addiction? A really bad natural habit. What's a drug habit? Cigarette habit. What is it? It's a bad natural habit. Folks, your body's going to tell you you have to keep doing those things. But you've got to remember that the scripture says in James chapter 3 that your body will follow the words that you speak. Take it from somebody who got free of addictions. I started to, I'll show you the verse. You want to see the verse that got me free? Yes. Two verses got me free. Are you ready back there, brother? Boy, we're working Corbin out back there. Bring up Luke 6:46. Here is the verse that I read from the words of Jesus Christ himself when I claimed to be a Christian, but I wasn't an obedient Christian. Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? There was a time in my life I looked at that scripture and it was true. I was 23 years old when I read that verse. And I mean, I'd be at every drunken party. And when the topic of religion came up, I'd tell everybody, I'm a Christian. But you know what? I wasn't. You say, what? You weren't? Oh, no, I thought I was. But I wasn't. You know why? Because the lordship of Christ is for those that obey him. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, he said, not everyone that calls me Lord, Lord will enter in the kingdom of heaven, but those that do the will of my Father. Ooh, that's a really convicting verse, isn't it? You know, that was a verse that made me start to realize I need to serve God. I need to obey him and not just give lip service to my Christianity. That verse, absolutely, it was like Jesus was standing next to me when I read that verse. And then, where's the other one? Colossians 1:13. This is the verse that single-handedly destroyed my alcohol habit. I would wake up with hangover after hangover. And I would cry out to God, God, take this away. I'm here to tell you something that's going to shock you. God will not ever take away an addiction. He does not take away addictions. I can't believe you said that, Pastor. He doesn't. He doesn't just say, oh, okay, you know, randomly I'll just pull that addiction off of you. No, what delivers you from addiction is truth. Jesus said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free. This is the truth that got a hold of me when I was in the early days of being 23 years old. I read this verse. It says, speaking of God through Jesus, who has delivered us from the power of darkness. Delivered is what? Past tense. He has already delivered us. You're delivered right now. You know, if you're a born-again believer, you're already delivered. So many Christians are seeking deliverance ministries. I'm here to tell you the greatest deliverance ministry that ever took place for a believer is Jesus hanging on the cross. And God's just waiting for believers to get a hold of this verse and say, wait a minute, I'm already delivered. And he has what? Translated us, past tense, into the kingdom of his dear son. This scripture went off like a light bulb. And all of a sudden I said one day, I said, I'm delivered from my alcoholism. I'm delivered. I said, man, I was calling out God. God, do something. How come, God, you're not taking this away? God does not take away addictions. And I know there's going to be someone that's going to get mad at me, and they think that I'm saying that God doesn't help. No, it's through the power of his word. But you can cry out, God, take this away. Basically, what we're doing when we say that is, Lord, make me stop doing this. God will not make you do anything. He won't. He will absolutely wait for you to get a hold of truth. And all of a sudden, I start saying that every day. I'm delivered from my alcoholism. And you know what? All of a sudden, it was within weeks, I had my last drink once and for all. Actually, I had my last drink, and then I went 6 months. I was 6 months in, and then somebody, you know, worked on me real hard to have a drink with them, and I gave into the temptation. I took one sip, and it tasted like turpentine. It was like, it didn't taste bad up here. It tasted bad in my heart. My spirit was convicted. And I pushed that drink away. I said, no, I've been free of this. I'm never going back. That will be my last drink. It was in West Palm Beach, Florida, January 18th of 2003, and I never went back. And there's other addictions, and there's other things. When you start to declare, I'm delivered. See, you've been translated into the kingdom of his son. What does that mean? The dominion of the kingdom of Christ. Amen. You've got authority, not over just bad spiritual habits. You have authority over bad natural habits. I started taking authority over, man, I was a sailor, literally. I had a captain's license. I was a skipper on a sailboat. And man, I talk like a sailor, you know? I mean, I don't think I could say one sentence without multiple foul language, you know, profanity in one sentence. I started to realize I'm delivered from that. Folks, what are you already delivered from that you're just finding out about right now? I'm delivered from that. That fear, how about that nonstop plague of discouragement? You're already delivered. Oh, that depression, you're already delivered. Oh, that pain, you're delivered. Oh, the stress and the worry, you're delivered. Jesus Christ came to give us our dominion back. And we got to know and understand that if we're going to walk in that soundness. So many Christians are losing that perfect soundness because they didn't understand what dominion is. Do you get some help here tonight? And the only reason I'm chuckling because I'm really believing and I'm a hoping and a believing that I did a good enough job explaining it here tonight. I want you to get a hold of this. Get a hold of these scriptures. We went through so many. This, turn it into your meditation. I mean, I take that verse right there and I just speak it with my Heavenly Father. I say, Father, I'm delivered. I'm not in the kingdom of darkness. I'm in the kingdom of your dear Son. That fear has no power over me. Those addictions, those temptations, you know, you don't think that a pastor doesn't get thoughts every day of quitting? Every day. Every day of my life, there's a picture given in my mind of me doing something other than what I'm doing right now. And I just say, I'm delivered from that. I cast that imagination down. What are you going to do when the devil starts knocking on your thoughts, telling you you're going to die young, or he's going to hurt your kids? Oh, he's going to knock on your mind and say, oh, you're going to get a debilitating condition. What are you going to say to all that? You're going to say, I'm delivered. Say, well, Pastor, I don't feel delivered. No. Deliverance isn't something you feel. Deliverance is something you believe. Deliverance is something that you speak and that you declare. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. I am not going to go the course of the fear that is in this world. I'm not going to be worried about, you know, what China's doing. I'm not going to be worried about the cost of a gallon of gas. I'm not going to be worried about what inflation's doing. I'm here to tell you, the Bible's already told you what's going to happen and all those things. In the world, it's going to get dark. But the path of the righteous grows brighter and brighter until the perfect day. And when we walk in the things and the principles of God's word, listen, doesn't mean that life always feels good, but you're on that path, brighter and brighter, brighter and brighter. Amen. Did you get some help here? Say, well, Pat, yeah, I know I keep digressing. Because I'm still led. I'm not. The Holy Ghost has not allowed me to unhook from this thing. But Pastor, if you just come up and if you just will lay hands on me and if you'll just take authority over that in my life, folks, I'm here to tell you the secret. You got to take it for yourself. I can help and we can join our faith and we can agree together, but I'm here the best activity for your faith is when you use it yourself and not just depend on somebody else. Well, I'll just keep putting in the prayer request, which is a wonderful thing to do. But folks, the prayer request cards here aren't to replace your praying. We're just joining our faith to you. Amen. Go to God and start declaring these things. I'll tell you what, you'll come out of that time in prayer and you'll be floating on cloud nine. What it's like to not be worried and depressed in this life. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we love you and praise you here tonight. Lord Jesus, we rule and reign by the faith of your name. Hallelujah. You have not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. You have delivered us from the power of darkness. You have translated us into the kingdom of your dear Son. You said if by Adam's offense death reigned by one, how much more through the gift of righteousness and the abundance of grace shall we reign in life by Christ Jesus. Lord, you made us for dominion. You told us over there in Psalm 8, you said that you've crowned us to have dominion on this earth. Doesn't mean that we won't go through challenges, but Father, it does mean, and it can mean, that we refuse to be defeated. Lord, you told us